Okay, we might make a start. Looks like we've got a full room. Welcome to this afternoon's session. My name's Charlie Levy. I'm the Head of Business Development at MMC Asset Management, and I'll be your host for this afternoon's session. So let's get started. A high conviction approach can be applied to almost any asset class and investment style. This session takes this approach one step further. So I'll just give you the first slide. And assesses the benefits that an absolute value manager can bring to a high conviction strategy and ultimately an investor's overall portfolio. In doing so, this presentation also addresses such issues as diversification, a value manager's interpretation of risk, and assesses the ability of a successful high conviction value manager to increase the risk-adjusted returns of an investor's portfolio. A bit of background on MMC. We're a boutique deep value manager with a 14-year track record. Our philosophy is based on the premise that preservation of capital is absolutely paramount to the creation and the retention of long-term wealth. MMC focuses on investing in companies that have a strong long-term franchise, good quality management, solid earnings, and are available at a discount to our assessment of fair value. For us, price is what you pay and value is what you get. Your presenter this afternoon is Peter Constable. Peter's investment career spans some 14 plus years, having worked as a portfolio manager for both the United Bank of Kuwait and Royal & Sun Alliance. Peter's also worked for HGL, during which time he served on the board of Hunter Hall as a non-executive director. Before leaving to establish AM Constable in 2001, which later merged with MMC Asset Management in 2003. He is now our Chief Investment Officer and oversees our investment process and our team of four other investment professionals, one of which is also here today, Daniel Mueller. I'll be back following Peter's presentation as part of the question time, and then before we wrap up, and then you'll be then voting using your little gizmos to evaluate the session. But for now, please welcome Peter Constable.
A little shorter than Charlie. Thanks for coming in this afternoon. And pretty topical that Charles mentions price and value. I think a lot of investors around the world over the last couple of weeks are quickly finding out that there's quite a stark difference between price and value. This market's been driven by price momentum for what we'd consider to be an extended period of time, and there has been a very fast and swift reassessment of risk, which, as we all can read the papers, that started in credit markets in the US, and it's finding its way into all asset classes as we speak. And today we have another down day on the Australian stock market, and we would expect, barring some remarkable recovery of investors' confidence, that should continue to the point of where value and price get back together again with a view of the long term. When we talk about the long term at MMC, we don't talk about 3 or 6 months or 12 months or a year, 2 years. We think about 3, 5, and 10 years. And really even 3 years is still a too short a time frame for anyone to look at any investor's return or any risk profile. And the reason for that is that we have been in a bull market in Australia since March 2003, which means that we've been in over 4 years. So if anyone assesses anybody's investment acumen over that time period, all it'll tell you is that how they can perform in a bull market. It tells you nothing about how that investor manages tougher times, times when price and risk and value all go in different directions. So that is where we are fast approaching. Anyway, today we are going to discuss how the benefits of an absolute value manager in a high conviction portfolio construction can aid de-risking a portfolio. And by de-risking, we will show you our views of how risk and our view of risk, which is capital loss versus, say, the market's common wisdom, which is that risk is standard deviation. So, pressing forward. I probably touched on this, unprecedented times. This is probably not new news to anybody who's been around the last 2 weeks, but prior to that, it was all heading in the right direction. There have only been three times in the last 130 years where the Australian market has produced three consecutive absolute returns of 15% plus. That is post the Great Depression, first circle you can see. The next is prior to the 87 crash, and and then the next is where we find ourselves at the moment. And we've actually had 4 years, so we were heading until recently onto our fifth year. Maybe that's where we end up in 9 months' time, but that would certainly be what you'd consider a very rare event, a one in a 130-year type of situation. So what has been driving the current market? Well, momentum, poor memory of what had preceded the current bull run, cheap debt, credit spreads, we've all been reading about that. What that's allowed is a lot of people to really fine-tune the value of equity by gearing on putting leverage on leverage. And then when the funds do that at the asset level, then the individual investors go and margin their own positions to get into those highly levered positions. And you have a mountain of debt which pushes things forward. So it's really a scarcity. Markets have been driven by too much demand for stock and not enough supply. And, of course, the market being so efficient, it produces a lot of IPOs, which we have been seeing. And if you look at the IPOs lately, there have been a lot of people cashing out. So, you know, companies haven't been using capital markets for really what they're there for, and that is to access capital, to expand business. They've been using it to sell down, mainly private equity. They're very clever chaps, and they like to sell when they think the price is right, and they've been doing a lot of that, not just last month or, you know, in the last couple of years. They've been doing plenty of selling. They've been doing plenty of buying, again, for the next cycle, and I'm sure we'll see some of those assets recycle back out in the next phase. Hedge funds have certainly a new phenomenon. They've been around for a long time, but I think the breadth and depth and size of hedge funds is significantly different to what it was 5, 10, 15 years ago. And they are unregulated, as we know, and they use a lot of leverage, and they're very quick to act. They don't run private businesses. They don't stand up in front of unit holders at the end of a period and explain what they've done. They write letters and produce their results. Investors have been mispricing risk, and again, we've been reading about that in credit markets, but we would argue very strongly that's been happening in equity markets, not just credit markets. You know, people have witnessed one-way markets, like the banks. Banks have not had really bank default or default on their loan books since the early 90s in Australia. So what do banks do? They reduce their provisioning. It makes good sense. You reduce your provisioning if you're finding that the incidence of loss is low. Why provision? Why demean your profits if it's unnecessary? So they've been doing the same thing. And, of course, we've had a very strong housing market, which has allowed them to do that. When does absolute value outperform? Well, not surprising. It's at times like this where times get a little bit tough, and you can see that there are three moments there. That's what we've done there is we've really subtracted growth returns from value returns. So where the blue line is, those three circles, is where value is favoured. So you can see that it was in 94, 95. That's the last time the Fed raised rates. I think at that time it was roughly 3% to 6%. This time they've raised it from 1.5% to 5.25%. And we're possibly entering in another period where absolute value will outperform growth. So, high conviction manager, what is high conviction all about? Well, it's about holding a concentrated portfolio. It's about the way we see a concentrated portfolio is of between 30 and 40 stocks. It's a portfolio of best ideas. It's not a portfolio of that's a good idea because this other idea is relative to it, this other idea is expensive. It's absolute approach to valuation of our best ideas. If we don't have a great idea, we hold cash. That's how we see absolute value management in a conviction style. So we will hold stock weightings within our portfolio of between 2.5% and 4.5%, maybe 5%. If it's a fabulous investment we think has really minimal capital loss or downside, and we will assess that by having a look at a business's balance sheet. If it's trading at NTA or below, well, we haven't seen that for a few years, but you know, I think in these sort of times, those opportunities can present themselves. As and when they do, we will add to our weightings within a portfolio, and it's really a balance between risk and return. But for us, there is absolutely never an amount of upside that can compensate us for an unknown amount of downside. And what we've seen in the market over the last 12, 18, 24 months is people's focus on upside. You don't often hear people say, what's the downside? What's the downside in that investment? Tell me what the upside is. Even I listened to the Rams presentation up at UBS yesterday afternoon over the phone, and there was a little bit of reassessment there, people trying to assess what the downside is, but I can tell you during the IPO it was all about, you know, where was the business going forward to, not what is the risk in the business. And if those questions had have been asked, people would have quickly realised that a small change in their funding costs would have a significantly magnified impact on their earnings. Now, it may prove to be short-term in that company, but the bottom line is no one really knows. It just depends on what happens in the US and their ability to fund a business like Rams's balance sheet going forward. So absolute value, that is simply not saying this company is cheap because it's on a multiple of cash of 10 times and this other market, this one's on 12 times, and therefore I'll buy the one on 10 times because that is relatively cheaper and therefore it's relative value. We define absolute value by reference to the risk-free rate, which is not a relative measure, it's an absolute measure. And of course, as times as well that we're in at the moment with tightening credit markets, the risk-free rate goes up, as does our requirement for a margin of safety. So risk. Risk, I think at the opening of this discussion, I touched on the point that risk is commonly seen as standard deviation. That would be advocated by modern portfolio theory. I think it's an academic approach to risk. It's risk relative to a benchmark, or and that's well and good when you're running an index type fund, but when you're running an absolute value fund, our reference point for risk is capital loss, the impairment of capital. That's what we think about. That's what we focus on, and only when we feel comfortable that if a stock goes down, having bought it, that we will buy more of a stock, then we won't be there. For instance, one of the questions I ask and everyone asks ourselves within our team is, if we buy a stock at a dollar today and tomorrow it's 90 cents, are we concerned by that? Or do we see it as a better opportunity? And whenever that answer is, we would be concerned by that, then we've got the wrong stock. What we should be saying is it's 10 cents cheaper, it's 10% cheaper. That's a more compelling reason, all things being equal, provided the thesis hasn't come down overnight, undone overnight, between that price change. So as you can see there, if we think a stock's worth $3, our view of intrinsic value is 4. You see there it's a 33% upside or margin of safety. Stock drops to 2. Standard deviation goes up because it's a measure of volatility away from the starting point. Our view is margin of safety is increased, therefore risk is decreased. So you can get varying views of risk. So our view is that there's a misunderstanding in the market by investors mainly on that point. Professional investors, that is the market at large, and I don't mean professional as in, let's say, we as professional investors, but I mean the large funds and common academia would suggest that risk is variance. In our view, it's not. The way we manage money is the way that most private investors like to see money managed, and that is risk is the risk of loss. Just moving on, the great Warren Buffett, amongst many others, believed that risk can be greatly reduced by owning only a few holdings. Buffett has been widely quoted as saying that he views investing as being given a punch card of life, and you can only use it a certain number of times, whereas you look at most managers, and they will make hundreds of investments in a year, hundreds. Whereas Buffett might make a handful. And now we're not Buffett, we don't live in the US, and we also don't have the acumen he has. We wouldn't hold ourselves out to having that. But we certainly do pick our stocks carefully, and we spend a lot of time poring over companies' financial accounts, trying to understand the risk within a business. And we believe that by holding a few number of a great quality set of ideas is inherently much smarter than owning a whole lot of things that you know a whole lot less about and relying on diversification to achieve lower levels of risk. I think you've heard the word before that it can sometimes lead to diversification. Ultimately, when you own every stock in the index, you'll get a return similar to the index, if not the same, subject to market timing. So modern portfolio theory, a systematic, non-systematic risk. Risk is a measure of capital loss or standard deviation. You know, we believe that you know, it's best to profit by knowing a whole lot about a small number of stocks. Point I made before. So, in terms of the portfolio context, what we have done is analysed how an absolute value manager can reduce risk. So the study here, you can see that what we've done is we've divided, essentially looked at a risk divided by a standard deviation divided by return. So when your return's 13% divided by 9.79 in the first all ordinaries accumulation index common, you get a risk return measure of ratio of 1.34. You can see the high conviction absolute return manager, and I think we've used some of our own statistics here over the long term. We have a track record that is 14 years, so these are facts, not hypotheticals. Our risk return is 1.56. You can see it there under the first column, 10 years in the middle column under high conviction absolute return. The balanced fund, 1.29%. Balanced fund in fine print is 35% Australian equities, 25% global equities, 10% Australian LPTs, listed property trusts, 25% bonds, 5% cash. Again, looking over at 8 years, the absolute return manager, 2.3 versus 1.46 for the All Ords, 1.35 for the balanced, and 2.19, 2.22 for the shorter term. Why is the shorter term less favourable for the high conviction value manager? That would be because we've been in a four-year bull market. So it suits an index-type fund at that point in time because we've had no downside volatility. So on a risk-adjusted basis, I think you can see that the manager over eight and 10 years produces a superior risk return for the investor, whereas 5 years doesn't capture it because we're not picking through the cycle returns. So what happens when you add the high conviction manager to the All Ordinaries index? And what we've had a look at is on the far left there, we've used 90% index, 10% manager. The more of the absolute value manager we added to the All Ordinaries accumulation index, the less the correlation, which is rational and consistent with what you'd expect to see. And over the longer time frames, the lower that correlation is. Again, the blue line being 10 years, red 8, green 5. So in terms of trying to take that to a, you know, how that benefits the portfolio, these are simply efficient frontiers. If we focus on the blue one at the bottom is a 10-year, so that's adding the absolute value manager to the All Ordinaries and having a look at what that does to return and risk over that time frame. And you can see that all the way to the right of the curves on each point, that's 100% the index, 0% manager. As you head down the return but significantly reduce the risk or standard deviation, you end up with an efficient point, roughly at 80% the manager, 20% the index. And that varies a little bit over time frames, the blue one being 10 years, which we'd argue is the best time series to look at because you capture there 1997 through to 2007, which gives you both the tech bubble, the malaise of 01-02, and then the bull market of 03 through to where we are today. And you can see, again, you can substantially reduce standard deviation without very little give up in return. That's a very good outcome for an investor, and therefore a more efficient portfolio. So the question is, how much is appropriate? Should it be 5%, 10%, 100% absolute value manager? We'd probably like to say it should be, but of course it's never good to have all your eggs in one basket, and I think one needs to apply a commercial overlay that you don't want to have 80% of your assets with any one manager. So what we've had a look at is applying in the first is 100%, so the first bar charts to the left is the 100% the index manager, in the index, and 0% the absolute value manager. And then in the middle group, 95-5, 90-10. And then we've applied it to both an equities fund and also a balanced fund. So picking the first group, which is equities fund, which is the yellow bar, you can see that in each period, as you add you add more of the absolute value manager, you get a higher risk return ratio. And that is consistent across all asset classes, and particularly obvious in the longer term timeframes, which is again consistent to the efficient frontier charts we looked at on the prior page. Just in terms of conclusions, and we'll get to this because I think it's these sessions are best used sometimes with Q&A, and I'm sure you've got a number of questions to ask, is that we have had a challenging 4 years as an absolute value manager. It's going to take a lot of red ink in these markets before we consider value has come back into the Australian market. We are currently sitting on approximately 50% cash, 60% in some funds, and we are selectively putting that to work. But just to put it into context, the Australian market today, I think small caps are off another 3% today. The All Ords is off almost 2%. The market's back to where it was in March, 4 months ago. It has to fall another 500 points to get back to where it was in December. It needs to fall over 1,000 points to get to where it was at the close of last year's financial year, and that's still a three-year bull run. The market had doubled. PEs are stretched. Earnings have doubled in a lot of situations. So people are capitalising peak cycle earnings at high PE multiples. And this notion that the market's trading on its historical PE is an absolute nonsense. It takes no consideration to the point that earnings go through cycles, like economies, like interest rates, and everything in our life. There are ups and downs. Yet people's most recent experience often gets capitalised into the future as if there weren't any bumps in the road. You see that a lot in mining stocks. Copper has gone from 60 cents per pound to $3.80 per pound, yet there's no notion that it could go back to $1 per pound or $1.50. I have no idea. We don't. I don't think anybody knows where the price of copper or iron or lead or anything is going. All we do know is that they've gone up a lot. A lot of producers are now profitable, and a lot of producers won't be profitable if there is some regression there. If the US falls into some sort of recession, their demand for Chinese manufactured goods will decline significantly. As that happens, Chinese internal demand is not sufficient to continue their phenomenal GDP growth, and there will be changes to the supply and demand balances around the world. We're not there yet. It is a risk. Just points, I could probably go on about the markets a little bit, but I won't. Our interpretation of risk is about capital loss, not about standard deviation, the way we approach stocks. We approach stocks in a bottom-up value framework. There is a strong conclusion, we believe, that by adding an absolute value manager to a portfolio can significantly reduce your risk without giving up return over the long term. We have proved that, and that we should always look at returns on a risk-adjusted basis. When we look at a stock, if an absolute steady as she goes long-term business like Telstra, let's say for the moment, which has got very durable cash flows, very low volatility around its end user demand, and you can buy that on a 10% yield, cash flow yield, but you can go and get some racy, sexy stock at 15%. And everyone goes for the higher return. They're not looking at that return in a risk framework. They're not adjusting their return expectations for the inherent risk that they're acquiring. And that is how we approach the way we look at stocks, and it's the way investors ought to look at the way they deploy their capital into fund managers as well. Charlie, do you want me to run Q&A from here, or would you like to come up? Okay. Any questions? First up?